This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club. It is episode number 19. I am Colton Smith and I am joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and educate each other on films. The films we should have seen but we haven't. Each week we watch a film, then we come into the studio and we talk about it. We talk about what we loved, hated and rated. The beauty of our film club is that anybody at all can join in. All you need is a sofa, watch along with a film at home and then listen to us every single Thursday. This week's film is Hot Fuzz. It's my choice, but before we talk about Hot Fuzz, how's your week been?
Well, I was with you yesterday, wasn't I?
Yesterday.
We went to go to the pub to watch football.
Beloved Leeds United.
Yeah, we were watching them. And it is quite difficult because you live in Salford.
Yeah, we are in the heartland of Manchester. Yeah,
Salford. Manchester United.
Manchester United.
So, obviously, they're big rivals with Leeds, and we went in a pub. But also, there's another team in Manchester City,
who
were also playing at the same time last night. But we got to the pub before anybody else did. And we said, hey, mate, do you mind sticking Leeds United on? And he went, yeah, what channel? Sky Sports.
Sky Sports.
Puts it on. But then a team of, like, City supporters came in.
And started booing.
Because they wanted the City game on.
And he couldn't split screen.
So,
but aren't they, there's multiple screens in
there
that
is.
Pub.
But
you've got your little booth one.
Yeah, we were in the booth.
You're in the booth.
We have it
sorted
that out.
Because that's always a red button nightmare every time I've been in there.
We were main event, so we were all
main
right.
Main event, you were fine. So your main event in the booth, small telly.
Yep.
He couldn't split it. It was one channel only.
Oh, with the big screen.
Yes.
With the massive screen.
Yes.
The big screen.
So hold on. You were? Oh, did you give it the old? Oh no, we were here first.
No, we didn't.
The manager just went, well, yeah, you wanted it on first, so
the manager like is like, oh yeah, you come in here quite a lot. Like we look after you, and they know we're Leeds.
Yeah.
As soon as we come in, they're like, a Leeds on. So we went, yeah, Sky Sports main event.
So what did the City fans do, Leeds?
They were booing. Every time, like, Leeds would go, like, then when like, a Leeds player would get, like, tackled or, like, kick the ball out of play, they'd all cheer.
Yeah. But why? Hold on. Just, I'm missing something here. You've gone into a pub to watch your team play.
Yeah.
They're not playing. Don't you go to another pub?
No, they were all going, why aren't City on?
Yeah, but don't you then go, well, they're not going to put it on. Let's go next door and watch the money.
There isn't anywhere else. Not in Salford. Not in Media City.
Stick it on in Nando's.
Yeah.
Every like now and then, he'd flick it up to like the home screen to make it feel like he was going to put it. And then obviously came out and going, I can't do it, lads. I really can't.
I have to say, it's an ultimate pain in that place when you start mucking around with
the
different
telly.
Games. It's really hard.
As well, especially when you can't split screen.
So did they leave?
No. And when Leeds scored, me and Jack going, get in, come on.
Yeah.
Them, boo. And then obviously worked out that we were the two Leeds fans. It's the two Leeds fans off telly That's why they get the preference of the TV, because they're on the TV. And then we got the old, come on, Baggies, come on, Baggies.
Because we were playing.
They all turned into West Brom fans.
We're all West Brom fans.
My dad's a West Brom fan.
All turned into West Brom fans.
Well, we won in the end, didn't we?
We did win.
So shut up.
Who's laughing now?
they
Did you do that at the end?
No.
Who's laughing now? Did you leave very quickly?
I got the bill and left.
I got the bill and left before the game finished. Or did you wait for half an hour? Wait for the crowds to go down. Wait for those 10 lads outside the pub to leave.
We were ready, like, literally ready to beat us up. When it was half time, Man City kicked off at 8, Leeds kicked off at 7:45. So they put Man City on. I went to the toilet at half time, and one of the lads went, hey, proper football now. I went, oh, don't mind a little bit of half time entertainment. And I was like, oh, that's a cocky statement, because we might not get back on here.
Because he thought when they were putting City on.
I thought that was it. I thought we were getting
fair
half
play to
each.
The manager. To,
and then
to,
when, second, when Leeds
the
kicked off, it out. Turned it off.
The manager straight away, Leeds back on.
Maybe he didn't want.
Did you tip him?
Yeah.
Well done. That's why you see.
If you want to make sure you get.
Well, this is it.
But do you think he did put it on because you're off the telly?
I mean, we do go there quite a bit as well.
Of course he did.
Quite a bit.
Craig and David in a corner in a booth. Leeds, whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Leeds.
Have a line
and then obviously
soda.
Gets to the bit where, because Leeds play really good football, but we have this thing where we can't score. Mm. So like, we're really, really good.
That's the kicker in football, isn't it?
Scoring. It's a bit like the game for Leeds is almost who can pass it across the goal line without getting it in. We've got this guy called Patrick Bamford. Who really like?
Oh, I know Bamford.
He's the best at that,
and he's really good at missing it. Like he's really, really good at it.
I remember seeing a game actually with you, and he came up a lot.
Bamford, he was very good yesterday.
He was.
So
what was the score?
1-0, but it's frustrating. It should have been 4-0.
The old classic.
And then second half, West Brom were good.
Yeah, they were good.
West Brom were good, and it was hold on, and you know, 50 minutes in, Jack's going, there's a long way left to go. 60 minutes, there's a long way. Makes me more nervous watching
those City
football
fans are on the edge of their seat,
and they are also giving it. Come on, West Brom! I'm like, oh god! Literally felt like we were at
were
the Hawthorn.
Were they from London?
I know, yeah.
Are they City fans from
come
London?
On,
they've
West
got.
Brom.
I tell you what, they've travelled a long way to not see that game. We've come up from London to see this.
Apparently, this is the best bar in Manchester to watch Man City. And the bit that did get me, which I said to Jack when they put the Man City game on, the stadium was practically empty. And if you live in Manchester and you're a Man City fan, don't go and watch it in the line bar. Go to the game.
Mm. Ooh, big talk now. Now you're out the pub.
Now I'm out.
You didn't say to them, look, lads, if you really want to see football proper, you want to see it live.
Obviously, we have just done something else as a free.
Mm.
We've just had our big day out at the BBC.
Big day out. Nice building.
Really
it's
nice
great.
Building.
Saw Emil Heskey sitting on a stool in the middle of a corridor.
As we've come out of recording
but
the
piece. But
with
a camera in his face and then a huge monitor behind that of his face, just staring at himself.
I'm Emil Heskey, I'm about to interview myself.
We've come out of recording a piece for BBC Radio in Manchester.
Thank you very much. Very good.
The Breakfast Show. Thank you to Chelsea for having us on.
Yep.
It's on next Tuesday. We come out of the studio and Ben goes, do you know what I've always wanted to do? Meet Emil Heskey. As we turn around, there's a massive big screen, Heskey's face on. And then he just looked tiny, didn't he, in comparison to sitting opposite himself.
Where everyone works.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the middle of a corridor. Yeah. Just sat there, poor lad, on a crappy stool, looking at himself. I'd love to be in that building that every week you get some guests on.
Someone
go,
in.
There you go, just there.
Just there. One, in the middle of the corridor.
In the stool. Outside the loo. Yeah, just there. It's where we do all our interviews. That was a good interview, to be fair, it was.
What about the old airport security getting into BBC?
It's tough.
We have to go into the BBC.
It took us 10 minutes to get in.
And you have to go through one of those things at the airport where you put your bag in, you get all your... You get all your metal out, whatever. Shepherd got out his perfume like we'd been to duty free.
I carry an aftershave bottle with me wherever I go.
You've been in like a bucket. It's just under 50 mil, I think you're fine. Like we were going to get the plastic bags out, the clear plastic bags. So we got in through.
The security guard did say to me, have you got your boarding card?
But we went through. And then he did the old magic wand.
Afterwards. Like it was literally, we're going on a flight.
Yeah.
Like completely.
It was a bit over the top because we'd put our metal in the thing.
And then it was when we got there and she went, what are your names? I went, Colton Smith, Jack Shepherd and Ben Price. And she went, and do you have photo ID? It was like, how are you ever going to get in this building? Yeah. Like,
we gave them our ITV photo ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have that, BBC.
Yeah. We still got it. So I'll give a quick synopsis. It's my film choice. This was my 10 out of 10 film, wasn't it? I said to you, you know, we nearly got 30 out of 30 last week of When Harry Met Sally. So I've decided to get 30 out of 30.
Let's go.
Hot Fuzz is a film about a police officer in the London Metropolitan Police called Nicholas Angel. He is transferred to a village, Stamford, in South Gloucestershire. The village Stamford is literally a village where nothing happens. I think the quote is, nobody tells me, not in around here. Like, nothing goes on, nothing happens.
He's transferred because he's brilliant. Isn't
he? He's transferred London because like he's too good for the stats in London.
Too many arrests.
Yep.
So they transfer him to...
So his reward,
he's bringing the other coppers down.
Yeah, his reward for working too hard was getting a promotion as sergeant, but not sergeant in the Metropolitan Police, sergeant in the Stamford Police. Stamford has won Village in the Year... Village of the Year. It's won Village of the Year for like the last 5 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. They're very proud of their village.
Yeah, and it's, you know, nothing untoward, nothing happens, and then Sergeant Nicholas Angel rocks up and it all changes because he kind of uncovers the life of crime that has been left in this village. But then it's also a comedy at the same time, and it's Nick Frost and it's Simon Pegg. It's one of their four or five films that they did, and I think it's brilliant. I think as a synopsis, I've made it sound mint
as well. Yeah, you have
made it sound mint. So would you not do the same synopsis that I did? How would you have summed it up?
I mean, it is the sleepy one-horse town like that, and it's all supposed to be very nice. Everybody's got rose bushes and everybody goes to church, and he does uncover all these things that bad things are going on. And first it's sort of shot down, isn't it, by the sergeant.
Yeah.
The chief of police. Yeah. He's like, no, it's nothing. He signs him with Nick Frost's character.
Yeah.
And him and Simon Pegg go on this sort of undercover mission of trying to uncover the truth, basically. You say it's a comedy.
Yep.
I mean, you said that I was laughing.
Do not say you didn't laugh.
I did. I said, what were my words? There's a few titters in the film where you go.
Right, so let's go in then. First question.
I did laugh once, didn't I?
I laughed. The fingers. The fingers was good.
The fingers he's...
Because what is it he said? He says something about poking or something.
Fingering.
I'm fingering you for this crime or something like that.
No.
What is the line?
Female police officer.
Yes.
Yeah, is played by who?
I don't know.
Olivia Colman.
Oh, Olivia Colman. Yeah, yeah.
And Olivia Colman's character loves an older man. So earlier in the film, when we've got Romeo and Juliet, haven't we?
Dire Straits.
And Juliet is a lot younger than Romeo, yeah?
Yeah.
And they say in the car that Juliet likes an older man. And he says, how do you know that? Nick Frost's character sniffs his fingers and says something like, the vicar told me, or something like that. If that's the only bit you laughed at, it says a lot about you two.
I would say it's been turned around to us. If that's your humour, the level of your humour, because it's very sophisticated, Hot Fuzz.
I was going to ask you what you thought, what your funniest moment was. What, right, Ben?
I also did like the rock off the church, and it just went into his head. That was quite...
They all die in very creative ways, don't they?
Yeah. Cheers to the neck.
Should we just talk about a bit of the film that comes out? So the village people have a committee, the Neighbourhood Watch. So this Neighbourhood Watch aren't what everybody else thinks they are. This Neighbourhood Watch are more of a cult.
Yeah.
And they basically go around killing people off that don't keep to the etiquette of the village.
Yeah.
So the film has, how many murders have we got? We've got the first two murders, Romeo and Juliet. We've got the millionaire. We've got the gardener. We've got Tim Messenger. Is that it? Is that four murders? Is that all we have?
I can't remember.
So it's, yeah, let's just say, yeah.
There's four murders and they're all connected, but they all get murdered in like really gruesome interesting ways. Because they're meant to be discovered as accidents, aren't they?
Well, what are the so first shears murder. In the neck. What's the first murder?
First murder, decaffeinated. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
So it's the knock-knock. This is where you got into it. When they knocked on the dressing room door, you went, oh, he's going to get murdered. And then you two like started to like it a little bit.
This is where you got into it.
You did. And, yeah, so they got decaffeinated in the dressing room and it got framed, didn't it, as a road collision.
Oh, yes, I remember that now. I remember that now, yeah.
So
second one?
Second one is the millionaire.
Oh, yeah, he blows
up. He's in the pub. But he gets killed, doesn't he? He gets cut into little pieces, and then they blow his house up.
They blow his house up.
Because they didn't like his house because it didn't match the etiquette of the village.
Yes.
Third, Tim Messenger. Jack, your favourite, Tim Messenger. How did he die?
Is that the rock off the church?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Spire off church, down throat.
Straight through his head.
Straight through his head. Fourth one.
Leslie Tiller.
There's some big actors in it, if you think about it.
There are.
There's massive. Leslie Tiller tripped and fell over on her own shears, didn't she?
Yes.
Stabbed by her shears. She was a gardener. So all these murders, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg basically go to work out how they happened.
Well, they try and... The local police say they're all accidents.
Yeah.
And Nick Frost and Simon Pegg particularly goes, they're not. This is murder. That's part of it. And then you uncover the fact that the village wants to keep them as accidents.
Yep.
To keep their village number one.
And to its crime rate, isn't it? So I know earlier on there's a bit where the first people he arrests are the kids underage drinking in the pub. And then the sergeant comes up to him, or the chief inspector comes up to him and goes, Sergeant Angel, the reason we let him drink in the pub is because it keeps him getting out of trouble. So they're basically saying, we let kids drink underage so they're not out graffitiing on the streets, blah de blah.
Yeah.
And there's little bits as we go along that we see that the Neighbourhood Watch have basically killed these people off, like the Golden Statue.
So what in it is... What's the best bit in it for you, Coulson?
Is it... Him running through the fence.
That is good.
Oh, I mean, wow, yes, you absolutely went on that.
Yeah.
You were laughing before he did it.
Yeah, yeah,
you were doing that thing of going, oh, this bit's good.
And it is good. What's the matter?
I think what's funnier, him how he jumps over the fences. I think that's funnier.
The line is, what's the matter, Danny? Ever taken a shortcut before? And then he jumps over the fences and Nick Frost's character just fucking snowplows.
Snowplows the first fence, didn't
completely it? Takes
he
it off.
He gets it. Because he's always eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Cornetto.
The Cornetto trilogy.
When they were actually filming the film... they're obviously dressed as police officers, aren't they, all the way through the film?
Yeah.
In the village where they were filming, the villagers would come up to them. Like, the real-life general public would come up to them and
thinking they were police, asking
for directions. And instead of saying, oh, I'm just thinking, they went along with it and went, oh, yeah, go down there, turn left.
Actually, I'm arresting you.
It's quite funny.
Has happened to me before. So, obviously, I play a police officer. And I was on location once and someone came up to me and went, do we know anything about this incident, blah de blah. And whenever you're filming whenever I'm in uniform, if it's out and about, we have to have a real police officer with us. So for when that happens, you actually say,
right, really?
Oh, I'm not a real copper.
Oh, I didn't
I'm an
know
actor.
That.
Do you
but
say,
there is...
get down! Get down! Everybody on the floor, get down! I've seen your face before.
Have I ever told you about when I got pulled over?
No.
No.
So I get pulled over for driving.
Late night. In the street.
It was
on
dark.
The street. Yes.
I was wearing a baseball cap and I was driving.
Why are you pulled over?
I was driving a white Corsa because my car was in the garage. So I was driving a Curtis car. I get full blues and twos, bang on the window, bang, bang, bang. Absolutely bricking it.
Mm.
In the back of the car, sits down. He goes, do you know why I've pulled you over, blah, blah, blah. No, no. So he's chatting to me about I flashed another motorist. And I was
hold on.
You'd left that bit out. You'd gone out, you'd flashed him. You'd exposed yourself. And then they pulled you over.
I'd flash someone to tell them to put the lights on. Apparently, that isn't new. But then I was like, I don't really get what's going on here. So I just sat and was quiet and he went, anyway, blah, 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 you're free to go. So I'm shaking, driving, drop my mate off, I get home, ping on my phone, message request from one of my friend's dads. Ha, 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 Barry's just got back to the station, absolutely gutted. Pulled you over because he thought he'd arrested you before because he knew your face.
Oh my
really God. Sorry about that. I was like... You what?
Oh, really sorry. Expose yourself anytime you want.
Yeah. You what? Because he's obviously seen me. Gone. We've pulled him before. Let's check him out. Mm. And he's obviously thought he's pulled me before because he's recognised me as Craig off the telly.
I got pulled over once by the police.
I know about this.
You know about this. It's very good. I think I might have told you it. I'm in Leeds City Centre and I'm driving. I'm 19 at the time, and I had a Range Rover Sport.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm driving round, because it comes into the story, I'm not showing off. I'm driving to pick up my girlfriend, right?
I thought you were going to say a load of stolen. I've gone just to pick up a load of stolen stuff.
So I'm picking her up from work, okay. I'm 19. But at the time when I was 19, I looked very young,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't look 19, I looked a lot younger. It was Leeds v Man U, and I'm driving through the city centre and all of a sudden, blues and twos at the back of me. Pull over, pull over. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm trying to think, what have I done, what have I done? I'm wearing this Adidas, like, hoodie.
You're on a booster seat.
Yeah.
You've got bricks on the wheel.
What is it, officer? I'm perfectly fine to drive. Right. Someone's doing the gears.
The only place I can pull over is outside this busy pub where there's a load of Leeds fans. So they seen someone getting pulled over.
Yeah.
Hey!
So they're staring and all looking.
He's getting nicked in the morning.
Copper comes up to the window.
Yeah.
Window down. He pokes his head in the window. He takes one look at me and went, oh, for fuck. I went, what? He went, I'm really sorry. I went, what? And he went, we've seen you on CCTV driving round. And we got a message over the radio that there's a 14-year-old boy driving around in a Range Rover. So I went, oh, I'm not 14. He went, I know. I'm really sorry. I went, can I go now? As I'm really embarrassed with all the Leeds fans at the side of me. And he went, yeah, I do apologise. God, he thought I was 14.
Did he stick his head through the window and get a whiff of your
aftershave
and go, oh, I'm really sorry. He pulled you over because of steam coming out of your car. An aftershave.
Right, so, back to the film.
I'll tell you what, we've had some police revelations there. That's with the law.
But that, and it's two cases of mistaken identity, really. Yeah.
I've been pulled over.
Oh! Go on then, ignore Hot Fuzz aside. Here we go. So all three of us are in the paper now.
I was pulled over, and to be fair, they had a point. And I got in the back.
I was doing 140.
Did you get 3 points?
We won't go into what happened. But I got in the car, he recognised me, and went, oh, hey, great, it's you. Turned the camera around within the car, said, smile. Still charged.
Showing all the boys at the station.
Yeah, I still got 3 points.
My fame wasn't enough to get away.
Brilliant.
Oh, great. This is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for.
I'm
like, oh, okay.
Quick selfie for the kids. In fact, we hold the penalty up in the selfie.
Turned it round. Oh, anyway.
Right. Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. That's our encounter. Let's talk about. Jack said, obviously, it's a mint cast.
Big actors.
Yeah.
Big
actors. What actors? Who's your favourite characters?
Well, Olivia Colman's in it. I mean,
but she's not your favourite character.
No, I know, but I mean, Academy Award winning. I mean, she
Bill
wasn't...
Knight is in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Coogan's in it.
Paddy Considine and Rafe Spall, they play the CID kind of coppers. Actually, all the coppers who are with them in that station are well known.
I think the chief inspector's the chair in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to get the cast up now.
There's so many actors. I mean, what about the village people? They're a big cast. Billy Whitelaw.
Billy Whitelaw.
White Law, even.
Billy White Law.
Billy White Law wasn't in it, was she? She didn't do it.
Her sister was in it, Bill Bailey, isn't it? Bill Bailey.
Martin Freeman's in it at the start.
Yeah. Coogan. Bill Nye. Yeah, big cast. Very big cast.
Bond's in it.
Timmy Dalton.
Tim Dalton.
One Bond.
Rocking in there.
Jim Broadbent.
Yeah.
Jim Broadbent's the chair in Harry Potter.
Yeah. He's the chief of police. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the police sergeant. Yeah, good cast. Very good cast. Edward Wood. Anne Reed gets the old shears in the throat. Yeah. She plays a florist.
So, mint cast. The way I did the first synopsis, I described it really well.
Yeah.
Why didn't you... What was it? Because I'm getting the impression you haven't enjoyed it.
It didn't push the envelope for me. It's just not that funny. Maybe it's just those type of films I don't like. I don't like slapstick humour, really. It's not sort of a comedy that I will...
That bit where he gets the bin on his head. That is funny. He gets a full old bin on the forehead.
A bin falls on his head.
What do you think, Ben?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think... it's not funny enough. Mm. I think if it's your humour, I get it. I get that film. If it's your humour and you like that, fine. The problem was, I didn't laugh enough.
Yeah.
And it set itself up as...
A comedy,
and you'll laugh. And I just don't... I'm probably a bit like Jack. I don't find that kind of slapstick or that... kind of funny. I mean, it rolled along. There was a shame because I felt there was a baggy bit in the middle, which actually, if they cut, it would have been quite a slick film. It was quite long, wasn't it? Two hours.
What bit in the middle?
There was a bit where we went on about the murders, and then it slowed, didn't it? When they said it's an accident,
he couldn't prove it, could he?
No, he
proved
couldn't prove
it wrong. He went to get Mr. Skinner, the supermarket owner, Bond.
Yes, yes.
He was convinced that he was the murderer.
Yes.
So he went to get him and he didn't have the evidence and he didn't have the proof.
Then it slowed a bit.
Yeah.
Because then it went a bit like, oh. And then it got to the finale, which was a bit better.
Who was the person in the cape?
Was it all of them?
Oh, was it all of them?
All right, fine.
All right, move on.
Whoa, you say move on, his head's fallen off from this.
We can't move on.
Do you not remember when he was chasing?
Jack.
He kept moving away.
What is the end of the film?
The baddie is the dad in it. Jim Broadbent.
They're all the baddies.
You know, the neighborhood watch. He's chief baddie.
All the neighborhood watch. Yeah.
That was a good bit when Bond got the split church spire through his chin. That was very in the model village.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Sick.
He felt like they had a fight in a model village.
Yep.
He falls over, lands on a church spire, which goes straight through his chin, and then he keeps talking.
Very good.
Yeah. That was good. I did like that bit.
Yeah, I mean,
he wrote it, didn't he, Simon Pegg?
He co-wrote it with Edgar. What's the director?
Yeah, the director.
Yeah, they co-wrote. I think they've co-wrote a lot of things together. Yes. Like, you talk about... Would you say this film's been successful? Because had you heard about it?
Yeah, I have heard of it, yeah.
I can tell you it's been successful.
How successful?
How many Oscars did it get?
Cost 8 million quid.
Yeah.
Made 80.
Poof.
How many times did you watch it? 80 million.
80 million times. I mean...
Look, I'm not saying, Coulson. I don't think we're both saying it's bad. We're not saying that. We're saying, unfortunately, that wasn't our humour. I know loads of people who like that film. Like, they've asked us, what are you doing this week? Hot Fuzz. Love that film. Yeah. Love, what's the zombie one?
Shaun of the Dead.
Love Shaun of the... I didn't like that.
No, I didn't know.
So, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Hot Fuzz, you weren't that keen. Shaun of the Dead?
No.
No.
Paul?
No.
Gulliver's Travels?
No. I like the...
Gulliver's
Travels? What's the World's End?
I like World's End, I like that's Gulliver's Travels. So you liked that, where they have a drink in every pub?
Yeah. But maybe that might be the reason why I like it.
Did you have a drink with them? Because there's that drinking game.
It's like I'm on a pub crawl with my mates.
With Nail and I, there's that drinking game where you have to keep up with what
with
they drink
Richard
in the
E.
movie.
Grant, innit? Every time Richard E. Grant has a drink,
you have to drink.
And you leathered.
And you end
up
hammered at the end. Have you seen with Nail and I?
No.
You see, that, but that's another one.
You put that on
for some people.
Yes.
And the humour.
Yes, good point. Good point.
Well, it's not funny.
It's not funny and it's hilarious.
Or like Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, those type of films I do.
Yes, good
laugh
point,
at.
Actually. It relies on what your
what you
humour,
find funny.
What you find funny. So.
Rating.
I'm trying.
A huge steak and kidney pie flew in. Rating.
I'm trying to work out because I still don't get. But so, if Simon Pegg and Nick Frost weren't in the film, would you have liked it more?
It's not them. Look, I'll be honest now. It's not Papadopoulos and Son.
No.
That, I just think, was a bad film.
Yeah.
This isn't a bad film, Coulson.
I think this has got to be one of the best I've picked.
For you.
You didn't like Kramer.
And we love that.
Right. Ratings, then. Do I go first?
You go first. He set it up well.
10.
Hot Fuzz. 10. 11.
Do you know what? I was going to give it an 11. I give it a 9, Hot Fuzz, I think.
9?
Yeah.
9.
Do you want me to elaborate? Or do you
no, go and elaborate. Just say what it was for you that you like. I think that's part... This is what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I liked the film.
Comedy? You like that?
I laughed. I enjoyed it. I was in it. I wanted the baddie to get caught. The baddie got caught. There was ups and downs. I love Nick Frost. I think he's brilliant. Yeah. I like Simon Pegg. I like all the other stuff they've done.
I'll tell you what I will say is the other supporting cast... were very, very good.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a lot to do, some of them. And when they did do it, it was really, really good. They were good.
I think they probably did do the classic thing of having lots of actors in it and trying to give everyone a decent part.
Yeah.
They did. And that's probably why it was 2 hours and not an hour and 20 sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because they wanted everyone to have a bit of a story. You know, there was 4 murders. There probably could have been 2.
Like, yes. Yeah.
But I liked it. It's become almost in my generation.
I didn't mind the bit when they were fighting those guys in the supermarket.
With all that.
I didn't mind that. I thought that was quite funny. And he got a load of... Paddy Considine got a load of Dolmio over himself.
Yeah,
and
he thought
he'd been
shot.
It's fine, it's bolognese. I did like that. That made me laugh.
Paddy Considine's got a great line where Sergeant Angel comes back over and he goes, "Andy's, what's the situation?" And he goes, 2 hairy blokes and a fuckload of cutlery." And they just throw in all like the butcher's knives and stuff. I think it's become quite... You might struggle to believe this. From my generation, from the people I went to, for the people that have watched it, it's become quite iconic.
Like a cult.
There's
film.
A lot of quotes.
Yeah.
Like, how many gifts
what's
are there
that,
of
what's
that film?
What's that quote you always say about it? What's that one?
Morning, Sergeant Angel.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Like, there's so.
You said that countless times.
Yeah, I did.
There's so.
That's good, though. That's
many.
A mark of a good film, isn't it? You can quote it.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, they pick up on other films, don't they? They pick up on Bad Boys, they pick up on Point Break. You really liked the bit of Point Break.
Oh, that was something good. Happened there because we were going to do Point Break as an earlier podcast.
Love that film.
And Coulson said, I've seen it. And I went, have you?
I have seen it.
Yeah, it's where he gets the gun and goes, and shoots it in the sky.
And they all wear masks.
And I went, oh, right, okay, fair enough.
And they wear masks.
What happens? There's a scene in Hot Fuzz, which is identical to your knowledge of Point Break, where he gets the gun and goes,
And he's wearing masks. And they actually watch
Point Break in
the film and see that scene.
So you haven't seen
You haven't
Point
seen
Break.
It.
I have seen
you
Point Break.
Right.
I'm telling you, I've seen it. Right, let's hear your ratings then.
For me, I agree with a lot of your points, Coulson, that the actors, the ensemble of the cast is very good. I don't think there's a weak performance by anyone. I like some of the death scenes and all that. There's little bits of funny lines there. Bottom line is, it didn't make me laugh as much as what I want a comedy to make me laugh. And
you laugh? What about the old sea bomb? You found that hilarious.
I didn't find it.
You've
hilarious.
Laughed all the way through this podcast. So if you do the dirty here,
I'm not going to do the dirty.
What sea bomb? The sea bomb. Where he goes, have you got a license for that gun? He goes, I one. You liked his character as well, didn't you?
Yeah, he was funny.
David Bradley.
David Bradley.
He was David Bradley, who Jack loves for reasons that will remain secret.
Well, no, that sounds really weird now. I just met him at an awards one time and he said I was very good.
What was his quote? What was his quote? Stroke your ego, yeah.
I can't remember.
Did you have a Range Rover when you were 14? I think that's...
Did
you travel through Leeds in a Range Rover at 14?
Didn't he say that you were the best actor in England?
I don't think he said England.
The world.
The world.
The world.
You're the best actor in the Northwest.
You know, he came up to me, actually. I think he knew I was going to be at these awards, and he came up to me with a newspaper cutting of his boyhood school friend called, Stephen Shepherd. And he was showing me it going, is this your dad? Is this your dad? I went to school with him and all that, and I've lost contact or whatever. Indeed. And I went, oh, my God.
No. It's just someone else called Shepherd.
Just someone else called Shepherd, but they were from Leeds, so that's why.
Hang on, just whilst we're on the topic of Shepherd, because I got quite a lot of stick for this on the internet. Obviously, pre-Hot Fuzz, I cooked, yeah? And I'd slaved to cook this. I cooked Shepherd's pie, didn't I?
Jappy
Shepherd's pie. And we put a thing.
Is that what it's called now?
On Instagram, a picture of it. And the amount of hate we got for sweet potato.
Oh, instead of just normal potato.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Sweet potato's great.
Complete hatred of sweet potato shepherd's pie.
I do prefer normal potato, to be fair.
Oh.
But anyway, right, let's move on.
Let's hear your number.
My number is 6.5.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's just a bit...
What?
Like a kick to the balls. I loved it. I loved it. The high.
6.5.
Yeah, but as well,
6.5 is fair.
You've basically gone,
6.5
it's great,
fair.
It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. I enjoyed this, I enjoyed that. 6.5.
For me, it's under average, so that's why it's 6.5. I think average for me is 7. Steady away 7 is
steady away.
Is
you've given it
good.
A baggy 6.5.
Yeah.
Go on.
6.
What is the point?
But no, hold on. I can't do 0.5s.
Well, you can. You're digging yourself out here.
0.5s didn't exist when I was younger. They don't exist. You keep going on about my bloody age. There was no decimalisation when I was young. So I can't give it a 7 because that would be... And I don't want to give it a 5 because I think it's better than that. But it's not my... do you know what? Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are very watchable. I thought it was a perfectly fine film. I didn't laugh.
So we talk about in that genre and what you want from that. So are you just saying as a comedy it wasn't funny enough?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, actually, that's a very good point. In a comedy, I wasn't on the floor.
No.
21.5 out of 30, which I can probably just about live with, I think. Just about.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. This week, we ran a competition on Twitter.
God. Yes, I forgot about
After
that.
We said Twitter was dead, we've resolved
we've revived it.
We've brought it back to life.
We've bought some shares. Everyone get on it. It's great.
Yeah, we've brought Twitter back to life. That's what we're self-proclaiming.
What was
anyway.
The competition?
It was to win a signed copy of our artwork.
Yes, that was it.
So,
Shall we do? Shall we do the draw? Do you want a drum
don't
roll?
Draw someone in Canada again. I had to send that.
we had to pay
wrap
the post.
It up and send it. I was like, oh,
cost about £8.
It took ages to get
right.
The signatures.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Oh, I've just knocked my mic. Hold on.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Really awkward because the person it's landed on. The person it's landed on.
Pick someone else.
Right. The person it's landed
on. My mum. Oh, are you joking? No, we're not. We can't.
Redraw?
Yeah, definitely redraw. She knows who you are.
Right.
Redraw. Can't do your mum. Oh, Jane Smith. Out of nowhere.
Do you, my mum would love it, though, as well. She'd frame
well, we
it. Can,
why don't we do one for your mum as well?
Right. Here we go.
Pick someone else, not from Canada.
Jackie Shepherd's just won it.
With literally three retreats.
We have got like 100 and odd. Right.
What's your technique for picking it?
Swipe and stop.
Oh, okay.
Right, go on then.
Go on then. Have another go. You'll get someone else now.
Right, I've got one. Steve Doc.
I thought you were going to say Steve Shepherd.
Stevie Docs.
Jack's dad.
At Stevie Docs 23 Manchester. I'm a big name in deep space. Ask your mates. Well, we're asking your mates.
He might like Hot Fuzz.
Stevie Docs, you've won the competition.
What a surname, Docs.
We'll send you a DM on Twitter. Send us your address and we'll get it posted out to you.
Do we have a competition this week? No.
Saccharose.
Egg and spoon.
Egg and spoon to the studio.
So there actually is a competition this week, but it's more of a challenge than a competition. Somebody sent us a message on Instagram. A few episodes ago, we talked about the funniest thing that you've seen in the middle aisle of a supermarket. Mm. And someone did send us a physical photo of a barbecue, some Cronenbergs, and a canoe in the middle aisle. I think it was like Aldi. It was Lidl, wasn't it? She said in the message, it's Lidl.
Like you go along and go, oh, they've got
there it is.
They've got the barbecue. We'll need some beers. Ooh, canoe.
What about the lake?
Yes.
So what we're asking you to do is we're asking you to send us in pictures of the things that you've needed the least in the supermarket. So say you've been walking around the supermarket
and they see a canoe, they take a picture, they send it in.
And you send it in. Or you see
you know what
he's
I mean?
He's a bit angry about that.
He has got somewhere to be.
Is when you see a car battery charger or something
like Aldi's full of them. The Aldi, once they're gone, they're gone.
Well, they're the world champions. I mean, they
I'd have to say Costco. That's full canoe, full hot tub.
So that is your challenge. Send us in the funniest thing, the thing you need the least, and the best one we'll
send. And you'll
win
a signed picture of our graphic. Yeah.
So next week's episode is a special one for us, as it is number 20. It's with great sadness that we announce that it is our last episode. In the series.
Oof. In this. Oh, hello. They were on tender hooks there, weren't they?
So series one comes to an end
after 20 weeks, which is acceptable. It's been fun, hasn't it?
We've made it to 20. So thank you all for listening.
I hope you've enjoyed it.
What is the showstopper for next week, boys? What have you picked for me?
Well, we had a little chat about this just before the start of the podcast.
It's got to be big, hasn't it?
It's got to be big guns. It's got to be a big film
that I think that everyone goes, ah,
that's big.
That's big. I've seen it, or I definitely should have seen it.
Yeah. And the film that we've picked is The Godfather.
Wow. Never seen it. But I actually am excited because everyone, you know, when we talk about the podcast, I think even when we did Radio 2, there was like, what do you mean you've not made him watch The Godfather yet? What are you playing at? Like, everyone has picked up on this. So I am excited.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a perfect film. We started with Hannah Montana. And we end with The Godfather. And I think that is
a
fantastic, fantastic little end to it. Definitely.
So we will see you next week. In the meantime, watch The Godfather and then come back next Thursday for the Sofa Cinema Club wrap party. Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.